Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Violent and deadly. Severe weather knocking out power, causing destruction in several states. Fox Radio's Todd Starnes live with the latest.
Yeah, that's right, Jane. Folks here in New York City hunkered down right now near hurricane-force winds howling through the concrete canyons, causing lots of damage. At least two people have died. The violent winds leaving a trail of destruction from the Great Lakes to the East Coast. Power lines down all over the place, leaving hundreds of thousands in the dark. The winds part of a strong cold front that spawned that killer twister in Oklahoma, Jane.
And nine fatalities there, Todd. Police calling this a convincing hoax. They blew up a device found at Washington High School in Phoenix. All students safe. President Obama heading to Illinois today, talking about the stimulus package at the Caterpillar plant in Peoria. Then celebrating the 200th birthday of Abraham Lincoln in Springfield and an event this morning at the Capitol.
But when we are once again debating the critical issues of our time, and debating them sometimes fiercely, let us remember that we are doing so as servants of the same flame, as representatives of the same people.
The debate on his stimulus package, the $789 billion compromise measure being discussed in the House, a vote there expected sometime tomorrow. The Senate could vote as early as tonight. Some people stimulating the economy last month.
U.S. retail sales jumped 1% in January, reversing 6 months of declines. This is the biggest increase in 14 months.
Fox Business correspondent Brenda Butner. New unemployment claims higher than expected, still better than the week before. 623,000 new filers. Continuing claims increasing to 4.8 million. That's the most since they started keeping track in 1967. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Dodge announces Employee Pricing Plus Plus. Now everyone gets our employee price, plus generous cash allowances on most 09 models. Plus, qualified buyers can get low APR financing through Chrysler Financial. Get to your local Dodge dealer today.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan. I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Join us at communityofveterans.org
and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Too much at once can sometimes get in the way of beautiful music. It's the same with driving. When there's too much on the road, things aren't so pleasant. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying a load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
A bombing targets Shiite pilgrims in central Iraq. 8 dead, dozens hurt. The winner is Israel's Kadima Party by 1 seat in parliament. Official results just released. Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni, a member of that party, but she's not likely to be prime minister. Hardliner Benjamin Netanyahu is. His Likud party has more allies in the new parliament, making it easier for him to form a coalition. The Pope doing some damage control ahead of his first visit to Israel in May.
Pope Benedict XVI meets with American Jewish leaders and tells them any denial of the Holocaust is altogether unacceptable. The Pope trying to patch things up after the excommunication was lifted for 4 renegade bishops, one of them, Richard Williamson, a Holocaust denier. Benedict saying the church is profoundly committed to rejecting anti-Semitism and asking God's forgiveness for all the injustice the Jewish people have had to suffer. In Vatican City, Greg Burke, Fox News Radio.
A touch of class for Britain's Prince Harry.
Parade ground, he is Flash Harry, but the army officer prince is fighting talk.
You look like a raghead.
Is reportedly sending him back to school for diversity classes after he offended many with language that in Britain is considered racist. Army commanders have reprimanded the youngster. He will stay in the army, where he's now training to be a chopper pilot. Prince Harry's supporters say it was just an error of judgment any 24-year-old might make, even one who is third in line to Britain's throne. In London, Alistair Wanker. Fox News Radio.
It's never happened before. A big smash up in space.
Broken down Russian satellite in orbit since 93, smashed into a commercial satellite owned by the company Iridium. They're now in dozens or hundreds of pieces.
Fox Radio's Chris Foster, Russia now saying the collision threatens other unmanned spacecraft in nearby orbits. The collision about 500 miles over Siberia. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Thursday, February 12th edition of the Knowing the Truth broadcast today. First of all, let's go ahead and wish Abraham Lincoln a happy birthday today. Today is the 200th anniversary of Lincoln's birth, and so certainly should be a momentous event in the life of our nation, no doubt about that. By the way, if you go out to Justin Taylor's blog, he's got a number of different books out there dealing with Abraham Lincoln, a number of biographies that have been written that you might find interesting. And so I just give you that little tidbit there. You can avail yourself of it, www.theologica.blogspot.com. You can go out there and find out all of that information. On today's broadcast, we're going to be talking about the Christian lover, the sweetness of love and marriage in the letters of believers. Of course, we've got coming up on the weekend, on the 14th, this Saturday, for all the men out there in our audience, we have Valentine's Day coming up. And so we wanted to do a broadcast that addressed this issue of love, but did so from a biblical perspective. And I think we're going to be able to do that. Before we get to who that's going to be on the broadcast today, who our special guest is and what we're going to be looking at, let me just say it's good to be back from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville. I went down there and spent a couple of days at the Gaylord Opera House there, you know, just a beautiful setting. And the NRB, just saw a number of folks there. Janet Purcell was there, got to see her for a couple of minutes. John Ankelberg sat and had breakfast pretty much with Michael Reagan, rode down the elevator with him, and then ended up sitting right in the same area there with him eating breakfast. Just a wonderful time. Had a great conversation with a couple contemporary Christian bands. I did an interview with Sonic Flood, all five of the members from Sonic Flood. And we started off that interview by saying to them we didn't want to talk about the typical things that they talk about in most of their Christian interviews, you know, how much fun is it to be on a tour bus and all of that pertinent information. But I said that we wanted to actually talk about theology, and I wanted to talk about the theology that there was in their music, and let's give them an opportunity to talk theology. And so we had a great conversation, and I'll be airing some of that over the next couple of weeks or so. And then I got a chance to speak with a couple of the guys from Mercy Me as well. Not all five of the band members there, but just three of them on that interview, but did the exact same thing. Said, hey, we want to talk theology, so let's talk about, specifically with them, we talked about their song, So Long Self, and about the narcissism in America today, and about how the gospel just speaks against that so strongly. And so we had a great great time with those folks. I spoke to the Bible Answer Man again, Hank Hanegraaff, and we had a wonderful conversation about Christianity in crisis. Specifically, we had in focus there a discussion about the hyper-faith movement and about some of the statements that have been made by the folks in that prosperity gospel message, and just how damaging it is to the cause of Christ and through to the preaching of the kingdom. And so we'll be airing, did about a half an hour interview with Hank again, and I just really enjoy all the interviews with him. He does a wonderful job. So I just want to give you a brief update. It's good to be back in the studio. And with me today via the phone lines is Dr. Michael Haken. Dr. Haken is the professor of church history and biblical spirituality at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He also serves as the director of the Andrew Fuller Center of Baptist Studies, and he's the author of numerous books. He lives in Ontario with his wife, Allison. And Dr. Haken, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Thank you very much.
I was originally from right across the creek there, from Buffalo, New York. So I've been over there to Ontario many times and over to, what's that area called? The hill over there, right by Niagara Falls.
Well, the Escarpment.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the Niagara Escarpment.
That's right. And so I've been over there. I used to go over for Chinese food quite a bit.
Okay.
It's wonderful to have you on the broadcast, and I want to thank you for writing this little book. You're getting very good reviews about this book. You probably know that already.
Mm-hmm.
From,
it's very gratifying.
Tim Challies has written a couple of reviews of your book, and so I'll be working a little bit from what Tim has written here as well as my own study of the book as well. Dr. Haken, you make the point in the beginning of the book, before you really get into the letters, that the various, 15 different folks, twelve significant relationships in church history. You make the point, though, that that not only was there a rediscovery of those critical doctrines surrounding salvation in the Reformation period, but there was also a rediscovery of the true intent of marriage. Would you expound upon that a little bit before we get into the letters themselves?
Mm-hmm. During the Middle Ages, the Church officially had kind of embraced a position where marriage, while certainly not a bad thing, no professing Christian author during the Middle Ages ever derided marriage in that sense. But marriage was not the best pathway of discipleship for a Christian, for a variety of reasons. At the end of the early Christian period in the Roman Empire, you know the early 400s. The idea that celibacy, a life of celibacy, which is linked with other things like poverty, obedience, etc., to form what we call the monastic movement, the life of celibacy was the best pathway for being a Christian. Hmm. And a man like Jerome could say that all of the key people in the Scriptures who had a rich walk with God were all celibate. Obviously, he's misreading Scripture in that mm-hmm. regard, but this becomes the dominant perspective all through the Middle Ages, and you've kind of then got this two-tier Christianity. And on the top tier, if you really want to be a Christian disciple, sold out for Christ, really zealous, you won't get married. Mm. And then marriage then is a second tier, maybe to some degree substandard pathway of Christian discipleship. And this prevailed really all through the medieval period. And when Luther, who is obviously the pioneer of the Reformation, the pathfinder of the Reformation in so many ways, is converted in the second decade of the 16th century, the 15-teens, he begins to rethink a host of issues. And obviously one of them is marriage. And a number of things have to be rethought about marriage. What constitutes marriage? Is divorce permissible in the Roman Catholic Church? Marriage was in perpetuity. There was no provision for divorce. Although you could get your marriage annulled, mm-hmm. which argued basically that even if you'd had kids and sexual relations, the marriage had never really taken place. So there was an element of hypocrisy in this. But what Luther and other reformers had to do was rethink the whole issue of marriage. And in doing so, they rediscover, really, early Christian teaching about marriage, that the Bible is not promoting some sort of second-tier Christianity, two-tier Christianity, with celibacy being the higher form of Christian discipleship, but that the pathway of discipleship for most of us, not all of us, but for most of us, is the married life.
Hmm.
And along with this is a rediscovery of what marriage is for. In your traditional Roman Catholic marriage ceremony, when they would list the reasons for marriage, you would have things like, in first place, was for the procreation of children, for the avoidance of sexual immorality. Augustine, for example, in his understanding of marriage, lists those two, and then says the other reason for marriage is it reflects the union of Christ and his church, but says nothing about companionship. And in fact, at one point, says in one of his commentaries on Genesis that if Eve hadn't been able to have children for Adam, she would be no good for him. And this completely misunderstands Genesis 2, and also I think our Lord's teaching on marriage, where he assumes that even a childless marriage is a proper marriage in the eyes of God. In Jewish thinking, in the first century, if a person couldn't have children, if a marriage was childless, that was sufficient grounds for a husband to divorce his wife. And this was all the way across the board. In terms of, it's not just simply liberal and conservative Jews. There was a difference in them between what constituted the grounds for divorce. But all of them agreed that childlessness was a ground for divorce because it meant a failure to obey the command, which they understood Genesis 1 to be, of be fruitful and multiply instead of a blessing. But our Lord goes right back and shows what the proper interpretation of that is, that this is a blessing. And that a marriage without children is still, in the eyes of God, a full marriage because the intent of marriage is, the primary intent of marriage is companionship. And this intimacy of, I like that book titled by Tremper Longman and Dan Allender, Intimate Allies. And that's what marriage is designed to be. And obviously children are a blessing. Etc. But a childless marriage is still nonetheless a marriage. And so the reformers have to go back and rediscover. They have to walk through all of this. And it's an area that is often not focused on when we think of the Reformation. We think of the Reformation as primarily the rediscovery of salvation issues, which it obviously is. But there are other things going on there, too.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be quite a few areas in society and in the church itself that are all part of that reformation that take place. I find it interesting, you know, that how they could come to that conclusion because, of course, in Genesis there, we have the first benediction, it is good, the Lord says, and the first malediction, that it is not good that man should be alone. And so he right away points to the idea of the companionship of man. So it's just interesting how they come to that conclusion so quickly. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We need to take a quick break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Gorman from Detour Traffic. Be sure to tune in to Christian Worldview Today, weekday mornings from 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660. Dr. Tony Bean will get your mind going with today's hot topics, and I'll keep you posted on the upstate roadways with reports every 15 minutes. Plus, if your business would like to sponsor traffic on Christian Worldview Today, visit detourtraffic.com. You'll find more information about partnership opportunities and details on how you can get in contact with me. More life-changing teaching and talk is on the way right here on Christian Talk 660.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Young people need a lot of free reading to build skills, but some parents worry that their child chooses books that are too easy. Actually, in the early grades, kids need a lot of reinforcement in those easy words. So don't worry, just be glad they're reading. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
It's Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just outside.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're speaking right now about The Christian Lover. That's a new book put out by Michael Haken, Dr. Michael Haken. And it deals with the sweetness of love and marriage in the letters of believers. There's 12 different relationships that are highlighted in this book from church history. And we're going to look at some of those letters here in just a couple of moments. I just want to leave you with a couple of brief programming notes before we go back to our conversation. Number one is I've got books. I've got books again here in the studio. So if you'd like a copy of the book that we're talking about today, guys, this would make a great Valentine's present for your wife. You don't have to tell her that you got it as a free copy on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, but you can still use it. And if you'd like a copy just for your question or your comment today during the broadcast, we'd certainly love to hear from you. And even if you just want to call and give your question and comment for Dr. Michael Haken, you're certainly welcome to do that. Let me give you the number, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. The call is free. The results will pay in your marriage after you read this book. Let me leave you a couple other announcements. We've got Dan Kruver is going to be with me on Tuesday's broadcast of next week. Dan and I will be speaking about an Ethiopian adoption program. Dan will tell us about his latest Together for Adoption conference that's going to take place just outside of Nashville, Tennessee in 2009 here later in the year. And so he'll tell us some information about that. He's got some great speakers lined up. I think Russell Moore is going to be there. And, of course, Dr. Moore is coming out with a brand new book on adoption. He'll be on the program when he does that, already lining that up with him. And so just looking forward to speaking with Dan about all the exciting things happening and especially this Ethiopian adoption program. The day after I speak with Dan, on Wednesday of next week, we're going to be participating in a live outdoor concert at Liquid Highway on the front lawn of Liquid Highway over at their Halton Road location. So that'll be on Wednesday, February 18th at 6:30 p.m. It's $5 in order to attend the concert there, and all the proceeds go to Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency and to Together for Adoption. So we'll be over there. Knowing the Truth will be there. Dan will be there, of course, over there, and the folks from Liquid Highway. And so come on by and say hello to us, and yeah, I'm sure you're going to enjoy that concert. The concert will be put on by Jordan and Jessa Anderson. I'll be putting a link on the website. You can listen to a little bit of their music. Let's go back to our conversation now with Dr. Michael Haken. Dr. Haken, just before the break, we had talked about what the view was in medieval times about marriage, you know, that there was kind of this, I guess it's listed here in your book. I think Augustine's view here kind of lays it out. He gives three basic reasons for marriage. Says this, for the sake of fidelity, that is the avoidance of illicit sex. Number two, for the purpose of procreation. And then number three is a symbol of unity of those who would inherit the heavenly Jerusalem. Those are some pretty unflattering reasons for the purpose of marriage. You had talked about that the Reformation brought about a rediscovery of what Christian marriage was all about. Let's talk about what happened with the Puritans now. How did the Puritans add to that rediscovery of marriage?
Well, I think the Puritans, the importance of Puritans in the whole history of marriage is that they obviously inherit the Reformation perspective, and they're seeking to work these out in a context, especially in the early Puritan period, where there was still a lot of Roman Catholic thought that was ingrained in the worldview of men and women in England and in Wales. Puritanism emerges in the 1560s at the time when Elizabeth the First comes to power, and you're only about 30 years down the road from the Reformation starting to come into England.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's obviously a lot of people there who still are. They may be outwardly going to a Reformed context, a Reformation context in church, in worship, etc., but they're still thinking in medieval terms.
Mm-hmm.
And there's kind of an overlap of worldview that's going on there. And so the Puritans are, first of all, pastors, if they're anything, and they're seeking to work out, in the context of local churches, a variety of issues, and obviously this issue of marriage is one that's going to come up. And as Puritanism develops as a movement, it develops a rigor of seeking to apply God's word to every area of Christian life. The Puritans, and I think this is one of the reasons why they've been so helpful to God's church down through the years, is they have a holistic view of Christianity. Christianity is not just a kind of a Sunday-only thing, or a thing that you do in formal worship contexts, but is something that applies to every area of life. And the Puritans, building on the kind of theological foundation of the Reformation, are seeking to show the practical outflowing or the practical playing out of Christian truth.
Hmm.
And thus marriage is one of those obvious areas. And somebody like Richard Baxter, who does have certain areas, he's an oddity in one sense, because he's got some interesting idiosyncrasies theologically as a Puritan, which is not normal Puritan thought. But in terms of his practical and pastoral counsel,
mm-hmm.
it's just tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
And so he writes a huge volume, The Christian Directory.
Mm.
And you're looking at thousands of words devoted to marriage, what it means to be a husband and a wife, and then obviously parent-children relationships.
I was just going to ask you that. You know, I love The Reformed Pastor, which may be the best-known work by Richard Baxter. In fact, I have an outline of The Reformed Pastor that I carry in my Bible. I carry very few papers in there on a regular basis. You know, my sermon from Sunday will probably be in there. But other than that, I carry that as a job description of what I'm to be doing as a pastor. I think it's just fantastic. And once a year, myself and the elders at church, we read through The Reformed Pastor again, just to, again, formulate what is our job description, what should we really be doing. And I was just going to ask you that. I have a copy of The Christian Directory, and like you say, it's a pretty massive volume, and quite a bit of teaching in there on all different subjects. And I was just going to ask you how much, I didn't look this up before the program, but how much Richard Baxter actually went in to the idea of marriage as a result of what you're saying here, the resurgence of that among the Puritans.
And yeah, I mean, it's a vast amount comparatively to what you might think. And in fact, that whole section on marriage in the Christian Directory could be pulled out and published separately as a book. I don't know if anybody's ever done that.
Yeah.
But it would make a marvelous kind of manual, if you can use it that way, but a marvelous tool for thinking through what marriage is. And the Puritans, very contrary to the kind of temporary view of them, the word puritanical in our context means stuffy, dodgy, prudish, really kind of down on any form of enjoyment in life.
Mm-hmm.
And the Puritans were anything but. And the whole issue of marriage is a good example. And if you read Puritan teaching about sexuality, they really do understand the biblical understanding of sexuality and the role that it plays within a marriage context.
Mm.
And it's the Victorians who are prudish when it comes to those issues. But and if you read through the Christian Directory there, you know, Baxter tackles issues like that. And it really is a very, very biblically informed understanding of marriage.
You start off in the book with the first series of letters that you list here. Are the letters between Martin and Catherine, or is that how you say her name?
Yeah, Katharina von Bora would have been her maiden name, but yeah, Katharina.
Katharina Luther. Was there any reason, now I know you've just mentioned a few moments ago when we were talking about the reformers, that obviously Martin Luther was, as you put it there, you know, the person who cut the path, if you will, or started the Reformation, of course, with the 95 Theses, although others were before him with similar thoughts as well. But is there any reason that you start off with his letters specifically in this book?
Chronological.
Okay.
I mean, there may have been another way of doing it. I mean, you could have looked at maybe letters in terms of, you know, the beginning of a marriage relationship, which begins with courting, is the older term, engagement, marriage, children, the actual course of marriage, and then bereavement. But I chose to look at them chronologically. So Luther stands, you know, I really focused on the Reformation and post-Reformation period. So Luther stands at the kind of the head, the fountainhead. And in his own marriage, he illustrates the whole issue of the rediscovery of Christian marriage. Here he was, a monk. And Catharina was actually a nun.
Mm-hmm.
And she, both of them had taken vows of celibacy. And she escapes from a nunnery along with about another 10 or 11 nuns in pickle barrels. And they get kind of dumped on Luther's doorstep in Wittenberg. They knew of Luther. They'd begin reading Reformation teaching and had embraced it and decided to flee the monastery, the nunnery. And Luther finds himself in the interesting position of a matchmaker for about a year and a half. And he actually has at least two marriages set up for, or prospective husbands for Katharina, but she's got her eyes on Martin, and eventually he marries her. And the letters are, if they're read properly, they're kind of humorous letters.
Mm-hmm.
And it Luther, the playfulness of Luther in his marriage, and the way he addresses her, for instance, the one he calls her the Holy Lady, full of worries, Mrs. Katharina, Doctor, the Lady of Zollsdorf, which was a farm she owned, and anyways, they're playful.
Yeah.
Very playful.
I was surprised
and,
by that.
I went through Luther's letters, and there were a number that could have been included, but these depicted Luther in the area of playfulness in a marriage, the element of humor. He's going through there, and he describes on one occasion where he was on a trip, and he encountered a huge female Anabaptist met us with waves of water and great floating pieces of ice and threatened to baptize us. Well, he was a paedo-baptist, and he's here actually talking about a river that was in flood, and they nearly got drowned and washed away. And Luther's just a very good example of the playfulness in marriage.
I love this.
And so it was natural doing it chronologically that I began with him. And I know that Tim Challies in his review was, you know, curious as to why I began with Luther, and then I get into Calvin, and Calvin's talking about the death of his wife. And but that's simply because there's virtually no letters of Calvin to his wife that are extant. And the letters of Calvin about his wife are just tremendous little windows into the depth of his love for, in his case, Idelette de Boer, who is his wife.
Interesting. I love that that letter to Luther, to his wife, where he says, he says, "Now I worry that if you do not stop worrying, the earth will finally swallow us up, as all the elements will chase us. In this way, you have learned the catechism and the faith," he asks her in question. "Pray and let God worry," he says. "You have certainly not been commanded to worry about me or yourself." And so he says to cast your care upon him. We'll talk more about it when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
with tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Sometimes a student has a reading assignment that's just too hard. Here's a way to help a child get through tough material. Trade words. You read one, he reads one. It not only helps the child make it through the text, but the student reads every one of the words along the way. It's a great bonding time, too, as you support your child. Our website is stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. We're talking about the Christian lover, the sweetness of love and marriage in the letters of believers. It's a new book that's authored by Michael Haken. It's put out by Reformation Trust Publishing. That's the publishing arm of Ligonier Ministries, www.reformationtrust.com. You can go out there and get a copy, or as Mark has done, you can call into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, and I'll give you a copy here in the remaining half an hour of the broadcast. Let's go to the phone lines very quickly. Mark, do you have a question for Dr. Haken today?
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you very much. My question is more of a general question about Puritan literature, and I don't have any way of confirming this except for what you would say or just my own observation, and that is this. I've been wondering if the one reason in particular why we enjoy the Puritans so much is because they were fortunate enough to be positioned at a very ideal point or period in human history. And what I'm suggesting is this, and be interested to know what you think, that they were coming out of the Reformation where theology was revived to the point, to the pinnacle that it should have been without the constraints of the church. And they were at a period of time before the Industrial Revolution when literally people's life schedules and times were not turned upside down with, work outside the home and all kinds of, new conveniences and distractions.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. The critical issues that men like Calvin and Luther had to wrestle with, which are very, very the first tier theological truth. What does it mean to be saved? What is justification, et cetera? All of those issues have been hammered out. And the Puritans can then build upon that a significant superstructure, Christianity is a holistic faith. I love that statement of Abraham Kuyper, every square inch of this universe belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And every area of life is his and should reflect his glory. And the believer is called in every area of life to reflect that.
And the Puritans, the battles the Puritan had to fight, they could assume a significant swath of material that the reformers had laid down for them, and then they could build on that. And so, yeah, I mean, the holistic vision that the Puritans have in their literature of the Christian life, I think, is partly because of the times in which they lived. Now, at the end of the Puritan period, they you know, and there's a controversy in the 1690s where they have to go back and revisit some of those issues of justification. The battles against the Quakers deals with basic issues of inspiration, the work of the Spirit. But essentially, the Puritans had, if I could put it this way, the leisure of assuming a significant amount of material. Because in the early days of Puritanism, in the 1560s, through the 16-teens, 50 years, the people with whom they disagreed, who we would later describe as Anglicans, that's not a word that's used there at that time, all of them agreed on a Reformation understanding of salvation. And so areas of disagreement were being built on top of that, those issues. And so the Puritans, yes, did have, they had the leisure of being able to look into all of life in a way that the reformers were not able to construct, because they were fighting on very, very key issues. And so I think Puritanism, it's the timing of the Puritan era certainly enabled the flowering of what we would describe today as Puritan literature.
Mark, does that help?
Yeah, no, I just wanted his opinion on that. You know, on the other side of that that timeline, I'm also thinking that, you know, for example, in our own time, of course, we're long past the industrial era. We're in the technological era, but I think that if the Puritans saw all of the conveniences that we have, perhaps on one hand they would be amazed at what a tool these things could be for the gospel, but I wonder if they would be also amazed that these things are a supreme distraction to a life, and of course, in your case, with your book, a marriage that is focused and typified by what God values.
Mark, that's an interesting thought. Unfortunately, you're having a little bit of we're getting a little bit of phone feedback on yours. We're getting some beeps and whistles and stuff. So we're going to have to just end it there, if that's okay with you. But thank you very much for your comment. A book is waiting for you here at the front desk at 2420 Wade Hampton Boulevard at the offices of Christian Talk 660. And so thanks again for your comments, man. We appreciate it. Okay. Certainly good thoughts there. I had heard at one point that somebody said that all the modern conveniences that we have today would equal 100 servants that they would have had during the Bible time. And yet we seem to get so much less done, and certainly can't even find time for the slightest little bit of Bible reading and poring over the scriptures, devotion time and time in prayer that we should. And so I think an interesting comment. Dr. Haken, I got to ask you, you know, I was asking you the question about why you started with Martin Luther here to find out possibly if that was one of your favorites. You said it happened to be chronologically that you put it together. That said, then, do you have, did any of them really stand out to you, or one that you find particularly interesting above the rest out of the 12 relationships that you catalog here in this book?
Yeah, I think, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, it would be Samuel and Sarah Pierce. He was a pastor. He was actually a very close friend of William Carey. He lived from 1766 to 1799. I've been working on a biographical study of him probably for the best part of 20 years. And his relationship with his wife, I still remember discovering, well, it was known to certain scholars who had studied that period, a collection of about 75 love letters that he had written to his wife. And it's a tremendous window onto what a Christian marriage should look like. And that certainly would probably stand out as my favorite. But there are other letters here, too, that I really, you know, have meant much to me. Helmut von Moltke, who was a German Christian who was executed by Hitler in the closing days of the World War II, his final letter to his wife, Freya, who actually is still living. She's in her 90s. And his letters to her have been published. He wrote about 1,600, believe it or not, 1,600 letters to her.
Wow.
And a selection of those has been published by Alfred Knopf in the last probably 20 years. And this is his final letter to her. He knows he's been sentenced to death. The Nazis gave him time to write to her. And it's just a tremendous farewell letter of what his marriage has meant and what God has done through his life and her life. And so there are some favorites here, without a shadow of a doubt.
Do you write letters yourself, Dr. Haken?
Yes.
Does your wife require that now after you wrote this book? Or had you done that previously? Or?
Yeah, somebody said to me, after reading this, it's just don't let our wives read this because of the level of what they'll expect from us will be so much raised.
Yeah.
I've always been a writer. So when we were courting, I did write her a lot of letters. We still have those. And when I'm away, I will sometimes write her stuff or leave a letter for her when I've gone off on the trip. Yeah.
Somebody I had on the broadcast who was a strong advocate of reading, he said that the average person, the average male, once he graduates from high school, will never read another full book again his entire life. And he talked about how that the bookstores gear books primarily towards women, that men just don't read a whole lot. Now, if that's true about reading, I would tend to think that many men, after they graduate from high school, never write another letter again in their entire life, which, according, holding to the standard of what you've written here in the life of Christians, is certainly an unfortunate statement. I want to talk more about this from what this means to us today when we come back from the break. We're speaking with Dr. Michael Haken. He is the author of The Christian Lover, The Sweetness of Love and Marriage in the Letters of Believers. We'll continue that conversation when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Boling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
It's Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just outside.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped out of heaven.
Franklin Graham, talking about why Jesus Christ came.
And he came down to this earth on a rescue mission to save you from your sins, to save me from my sins. The Bible says, though he was rich, he became poor. He knew that he was headed for the death of the cross. He knew that he would die on Calvary's cross for your sins. He knew that he would be beaten. He knew that he would be despised. He knew that he would be spat on. He knew all of this was about to come, but yet he came. You see, he didn't shrink from it. He didn't run from what the Father asked him to do. He came, and he came to save you from your sins. Save me.
Make the decision. Follow Jesus Christ by faith. Call us at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association toll free at 866 Jesus Cares or click billygraham.org.
From Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church, here's Pastor Carl Robbins.
Just as the usual and continuous behavior of our enemies is to keep on mistreating, so the usual and continuous behavior of the believer towards these people is to be doing them good, blessing them with our speech, and praying for them.
Join Carl Robbins for the Presbyterian Pulpit, Sundays at 12 noon, here on Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Boling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Boling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. That means you have about under 10 minutes. If you'd like to call in with a question or a comment for our special guest today, Dr. Michael Haken, the author of The Christian Lover, The Sweetness of Love and Marriage, and The Letters of Believers, let me give you that number, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Let me tell you, too, I've got a couple of books left with me here in the studio. So if you'd like a copy of one of these books, just call in with your quick question or comment, and then we'll go ahead and put your name on one of these books. Before we go back to the closing comments of our conversation today, let me just give you a couple more announcements. One is, I wanted to let you know we're talking about husbands and wives and families here today. Well, the South Carolina Children's Theater is holding its 14th annual Character Breakfast. This is on Saturday, March 14th. It's going to be held at Thornblade Country Club from 8:30 to 10, or there's a second installment of this as well from 11 to 12:30. They're going to have a number of characters there from the South Carolina Children's Theater dressed up. There'll be Winnie the Pooh characters and Cinderella and Tigger and Snow White and these types of things. And so they will be there. You can bring your child, have breakfast with your child. They're going to have pancakes and eggs and bacon and grits. There's good old grits are in there, fruit, biscuits, beverages, all of these things are all included in it, and just be a wonderful time for you to get out with your child and take them to a fun breakfast. They've been doing this now for 13 years. This is the 14th annual version of it, and so if you want some more information about that, I just thought it'd be a fun thing to let you know about to take your children to. Let me give you the phone number. It's 235-2885. That's 235-2885, and that's extension 10, and you can find out all the information about the tickets. Again, South Carolina Children's Theater, their 14th annual Character Breakfast. And then one more thing, I wanted to let you know about the upcoming conference that is taking place right here in Greenville. This is the PCRT conference. That stands for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology 2009. It's going to be held right here in Greenville, South Carolina, April 17th through the 19th. Jerry Bridges, Steve Lawson, Rick Phillips, and Derek Thomas will be there. You don't want to miss this. This is going to be wonderful. And Steve Lawson is going to do a special pre-conference on John Calvin. And so this is going to be a wonderful opportunity. Don't miss that conference. It's going to fill up very quickly. And so you want to get your tickets. Let me give you the information to do that. You can go out to www.alliancenet.org. That's alliancenet.org. Or you can call 1-800-956-2644. Let's go to the phone lines. I've got a couple of folks that have called in. I think up first we have Steve from Greer. Steve, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I just wanted you to know how much I appreciate your program. I deliver mail every day, and I listen to your program. It has been a tremendous help and source. In fact, it's got me into reading a good amount of Puritan literature, which I'm reading right now, Everlasting Righteousness by Rachel Varner.
Oh, excellent.
And it has just really been a tremendous help.
Well, thank you, Steve, for those comments. We really appreciate that.
And as far as the question, I've just been thoroughly appreciating it, and I just called because I'd like to get a copy of that book for my wife.
We got your name on a copy here, Steve, and thank you very much for being a faithful listener to the broadcast and for calling in today with your kind comments.
Thank you very much.
You can pick it up right here, 2420 Wade Hampton Boulevard. We'll put it at the front desk for you with your name on it. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we got Ron up on line 3. Ron, welcome into the program today.
Hello, this is my question. I haven't come across any of this myself, and that is I'm looking for any Puritan-type work or work such as this gentleman has done, and maybe it's in his book, where a believing spouse became a Christian after the marriage, holding on desperately to the marriage, a lot of tension because there's just certain things. I mean, even if a person desires to live a righteous life in Christ, they're going to get persecuted. So, there's a lot of challenges that go along.
Sure.
And is there anything there about that?
I don't think you'd find it here in this book, but maybe Dr. Haken could recommend another resource before I give him a chance to think about it. But I also would try, Ron, out at CCEF.org. You know, those guys are writing a lot, like David Powelson and Paul David Tripp and others that are out there. And they write about subjects like that. That might be a good resource. Let me toss it to Dr. Haken and see if he has a recommendation as well.
Yeah, I would think, if I recall correctly, Richard Baxter in the Christian Directory does grapple with this issue of when you are married to an unbelieving spouse and how you are to conduct yourself as a Christian. I don't recall exactly where in that volume, but the sections are clearly marked out, duties of husbands to wives, wives to husbands, etc. And so if you look through that, glance through it, hopefully you'd be able to find the area where he deals with that.
Great.
And then I would also ditto what Pastor Bowling has said regarding the work of David Polison and Paul David Tripp.
That's excellent counsel there. I don't know, Ron, if you have a copy of that book, but I would try look out on monergism.com as well. If you just type in www.monergism.com, there's a link to it, by the way, on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast website, and you can go out there, and I would go ahead and type in unbelieving spouse. And you might be able to, get some articles out there as well. They may even have some of Richard Baxter's works scanned in, so you might be able to see it that way. If not, it'd be worth it to get a copy of that work. I think that would be good. In fact,
I've got Richard Baxter, but I didn't quite hear the other thing.
Richard Baxter, and then he was mentioning that the works that I mentioned from David Powelson and others there at CCEF. Does that help?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, great, Ron. Thanks again for the comment. Oh, 1 second. Wait a second. Isaac's passing me a note here, something to help you out with. Dr. Haken, well, before Isaac does that there, let me ask you, do you have any closing comments or any closing thoughts? I wanted to put this in your mind as you couch your terms here, or you couch your closing comments, if you would. You know, today it seems like this has been a lost art about writing. In fact, Tim Challey's put out on his website kind of a tongue-in-cheek example of what writing to our spouse would be like in this modern age. And, you know, what it would look like as a tweet or what it would look like as a text message. You know, this whole idea of writing in the way that these men and women did and that you record in your book seems to be lost. And so with that, I just wonder if it's, you know, what your thoughts on that whole thing.
I think we live in a day in which there is enormous attack on marriage. Our culture, large parts of our culture are really down on marriage. The way married life is often portrayed in the media. And we're barraged with this. A lot of the kind of things that you see on the Internet, news reports, basically highlight infidelity and immorality. And we need something to set over against that, to kind of bathe our thoughts in. And a book like this kind of helps, I think, show us the way Christians have sought to deepen their love for their spouses in their Christian lives. And I think it is a duty that we have as Christians who are married to have a growing delight in our spouse. And the danger, and I think it's especially a danger for men, is that once the kind of honeymoon period is over, you kind of get into coast mode.
Mm-hmm.
And you're married, you know, everything's fine, and you just need to leave it that way. But our culture there are insidious elements in our culture that will not allow us to coast in any area of our Christian life, but in this area particularly. And therefore, there needs to be a concerted effort to rekindle. I mean, the whole book of Song of Solomon, I think, speaks along these lines of rekindling love.
Amen. Well, good thoughts there. Thank you very much, Dr. Haken, for being with us on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. We really appreciate it. Let me tell you, we've been speaking with Dr. Michael Haken, the author of The Christian Lover. You can get it out at Reformation Trust Publishing. That's Reformation Trust.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.